right, good morning. Anybody get to watch any college football yesterday? If you like that, if you care about that. Sorry. A couple games on. No, Darren did. They went. Georgia Tech went all the way to Ireland to beat Florida State. So, yeah. So, well, welcome again. It is our team day. I gotta come up. Y'all gotta help me. We need to find a better name. Team day, whatever you want to call that. But we need to come up with a better name for that. So I'm gonna give that out to somebody else for next year. Please help. Welcome to team day. You know, hopefully everybody has some fun putting on your favorite team's jersey. You got any high school jerseys on? Just curious. I know last year we did, but I think we caught some people by surprise this year. And I think several people forgot. All right, who's got a college jersey? Okay, there. Oh, look, he's got a flag. Man, that's awesome. He came prepared. I love that. And then the pro teams, any there out there? All right, yeah, a couple there. I see some Braves, Falcons. Oh, good stuff. Good stuff. Well, you know, we'll make a lot of comparisons this morning, but, you know, a sports team works together for a common goal. And we can make a lot of comparisons with the church. The body of Christ works together to achieve a common goal for the Lord, obviously there. So, you know, we as Christians, we have goals to share the gospel, to fellowship together, to worship the Lord, and to minister to one another, and all these things come together. Just as a team has a goal to win the championship or whatever the name of their trophy might be. You know, that's teams come together. Very similar, also too. You know, teams. A lot of times, I love looking at the names of on the back of the jerseys that you see. Like, okay, that's definitely, he's from, you know, that's a Samoan name. He must be from Hawaii or something, you know. And some of these quarterbacks, I can't even dare pronounce their names. It's like, whoa, okay, we're just going to call him DJ, and that's what he's going to be. But you get to see where all these players come together, many of them from, like, across the country and you know, I know it used to be, I think there's still several Aussie kickers. That we like to get kickers from down under, I guess. They kick the ball and gravity doesn't affect them. I don't know, whatever. But all these people come together and they all put on the same jersey, right? They're part of the same team. And that's kind of how I view the body of Christ, too. We may come together. We're from all different walks of life. Many of us have different stories. Some of us have been involved in church all our lives. Some of us are new believers and have only been in church for a few years. But we've come together and we're donning the team jersey for Jesus Christ. And we're going to work together to accomplish the goal that Christ has for us. So we'll kind of jump in and out of that theme this morning and just kind of connect it there, have some fun with it. Good to see everybody wearing your jersey. So we're going to be in the book of Acts again. We're preaching through the book of Acts, and this morning we'll be in Acts chapter 20. But I have a question for you this morning. How can you support your team, the church? You know, you obviously throw on, your jersey, your favorite team, right? But how can you and I support our number one team, as Darren said, the most important team, the church, you know, as we come together. And you can probably look at my sermon title and be like, well, okay, Pastor John, you're going to talk about encouragement today. Well, obviously, yeah, we're gonna talk about encouragement and how pivotal encouragement is in the body of Christ and how much that will do and help us. We're going to see how Paul used encouragement, and the church came together and brought encouragement together. Here, just kind of remind you where we're at in Acts chapter 20. This is kind of, Paul is wrapping up his third missionary trip. He's about to head home to Jerusalem, and then he's going to make a U-turn and head all the way back to Rome through a lot of different events and circumstances. But he's wrapping up his third mission trip here. Paul is in Ephesus, and if you remember last week, we talked about the riot that was there. Paul spent the most time in the city of Ephesus than any other city on his mission trip. The text last week we read, it said that he stayed there 2 years in one part of that, and we know if you add up some of the other time that he spent there, it was probably at least somewhere between two and a half years that Paul spent in the big city of Ephesus. So he was very attached to the people. The people had a good relationship with him. But now Paul is leaving. It wasn't because of the riot. God had said, now's the time. Now's the time to leave, time to go. So this morning we're going to look at Acts chapter 20, just a short passage here, and we're going to look at three things that we can pick up about encouragement here from this text. So if you have your Bibles, if you will, in honor of God's word, if you can stand, if you're able to, if you're not, I understand. But I'm going to start reading in verse 1 of chapter 20. It says, "When the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples and after encouraging them, said goodbye and set out for Macedonia. He traveled through that area speaking many words of encouragement to the people and finally arrived in Greece where he stayed 3 months because the Jews made a plot against him just as he was about to sail for Syria. He decided to go back through Macedonia. He was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, and Timothy, also and Tychius and Trophimus from the province of Asia. These men went on ahead and waited for us at Troas, but we sailed from Philippi, and after the feast of unleavened bread, and 5 days later joined the others at Troas, where we stayed 7 days." Okay, that was a mouthful. Verse 7. "On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he had intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on." I love that. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He is alive." Then he went upstairs and broke bread again, and they ate. And after talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. All right, thank you. You can have a seat. A lot in here. There's a little bit of humor in here, too. I think the author, Luke, wanted to have a little commentary about what he thought Paul's talking was about here. Three things I want to share with you this morning about encouragement. And the first one there on the outline you'll see there, on the back of your bulletin you'll have an outline, you can follow along. But number one there is this, that the importance of encouragement. The importance of encouragement. Look at the first two verses again, just to remind you again. Let's see, the word encouragement is used twice here. It says, "When the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, said goodbye and set out for Macedonia. He traveled through that area speaking many words of encouragement to the people." Did you notice it's right after the uproar, the riot that we looked at last week, that Paul immediately began to encourage the people? You can imagine that's a time when we need encouragement most, is when we have a situation, a circumstance that calls for some encouragement. And that's exactly what Paul did. This uproar that had the whole city in upheaval, Paul said, "All right, we need to encourage these Christians." You know, the whole town was upset with us and mad. And so we need to encourage God's people here. So that's what he did. Paul also knew that he was leaving them. He was going to be finally leaving Ephesus there after so many years of being with them. He knew he needed to encourage them. You know, if you're about to leave, you know, you're going on a trip, or maybe you're moving, and the people, your family, your neighbors, that's another excellent time to encourage people, right? When there's going to be a separation, you know, if we in our church before, we've lost people who have moved because of jobs, and we have to say goodbye to them, and we hate that, and because they've been such a pivotal part of our church, but God is moving them to a different area, and so we have to say, you know, I hate it, but we know that that's God's will. So that's another excellent time to encourage people. there's a book called Celebrate Kids. It's by Dr. Kathy Koch, and she discusses in this book the importance of encouragement. She says, a simple definition of encouragement is that it gives courage to someone. It gives courage to someone. If you write down encourage, and go ahead and go to the next slide there after that. If you write down the word encourage, you see it on the screen, the root word in encourage is courage, is it not? Kathy goes on to say this. It said, when we encourage children and adults and loved ones and complete strangers, we give them courage. On the other hand, to discourage someone means that we steal their courage. We take it away. So, you know, think about the relation of encouragement with giving someone courage. How important that is, right? I can testify a little over a month ago. I came to you and I shared in my own personal life that I became discouraged on a Sunday. I looked out, half of the church was asleep. There was a smaller crowd. I was like, man, I messed it up. I went way too deep, you know. And I, for about a day and a half, I felt discouraged for several things. We had staff members leaving. But you know what happened? You happened. I could not leave this building that day that I shared that with you. I had five or six people come up to me and say, hey, Pastor John, you're doing a great job. We appreciate you. We love you. Is there anything we can do? I'm praying for you. I mean, I got stopped here. I got stopped in the hall. I got stopped at the doorway on my way out to my car. And you encouraged me, all right? And that was huge. That was important. So I know personally how good it is to be encouraged. And I know you do as well. If you think back on a time when someone encouraged you, you can remember how important that was in your life, right? Encouragement is important. Think about this, all right? Many of you put on your team jersey today, or a polo, or whatever it might be, right? Why do you do that? Are you going to play for the Miami Dolphins, Anna? Are you going to play for the Detroit Lions? You know, all the, you know, Georgia Bulls, you know, right? No, we do that. We do it for a couple of reasons, right? We support our team. We show our support, our camaraderie together. But we do that to show who we are for, right? Think about if you've ever been to a football game, whether it's high school, college, pro, whatever. Most everybody around the stadium is wearing their team's colors, right? They're wearing the jersey to show that team, hey, I'm with you. I'm with you. You know, or you show your neighbor in your seat next to you, hey, I'm on your side. I'm on your team, right? That's one of the reasons. We don't put on the jersey so that we can go play. We do it to encourage the team, right? You know, I know as a Georgia fan, one of the big games we talk about all the time is the Georgia-Florida game that's held in Jacksonville, and they sell the tickets evenly. The TV announcers always make a big deal about the stadium is split in half. You can see the blue and orange on one side and the red and black on the other side, right? You know, you'll see these big aerial shots of the stadium, and you can see the color, you know, and this happens to all that. But when we support our team by throwing on the jersey, we're not going to go play for them, right? It's not that bad. but we're showing the team that, hey, we support you. We're here to encourage you. And that's important for all of us to do that. Just thought experiment now. Think about a time in your life when somebody really encouraged you in a big way. Maybe it was to do something in your work life or personal life. Maybe it was something related to school, or maybe to take a chance and step out and to do something. Maybe someone encouraged you in your faith, encouraged you enough to help you step out in faith and trust the Lord and to maybe share the gospel with somebody. But that encouragement is so vital. It is so important. John Stone Street, the president of the Colson Center, says this about courage. He says that encouragement is a virtue, and these virtues are like muscles. They need to be worked out in order to grow. in order to develop. And for you and I, maybe encouragement comes easy for some of us. I know there's someone in our church, I just call her the encourager, because every time she talks to you, she's going to encourage you. It doesn't matter what's going on in her life, she's going to encourage you, and she knows who she is. But maybe encouragement doesn't come so natural for you or for me. Well, how do we develop that? We just like a muscle, we have to work it out. We have to develop it. We have to intentionally do something to be encouraging. And so maybe we make a goal. You know what? I'm gonna look for one person every day to encourage and say something nice about them, or try to lift their spirits, or share a scripture with them. You know, and maybe you start there, and you allow that repetitive practice of building that muscle of encouragement to grow in your life or my life. My question before we move on to the next point is this: is there someone in your life, in your circle of friends or coworkers or family, that you and I can encourage today or this week? Is there someone that you and I can encourage, and are we looking for that person? All right, point number two. Not only is the importance of encouragement, now we're going to look at the encouragement of our presence. The encouragement of our presence. Look at verse 7 here. Paul moves on to the city of Troas, and he meets all these other disciples there from the various towns and cities in Macedonia and elsewhere. They're probably going to accompany him to Jerusalem to bring the offering that Paul has collected there. And that's why he's got all these different people with him. But it says there on verse 7, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke with the people because he intended to leave them the next day, and he kept on talking until midnight. All right? This is the first day of the week. That's church day, right? You know, the Christians, early believers, began to come together and worship the Lord on the first day of the week rather than the Sabbath after Jesus rose from the dead. People say, you Christians, you don't celebrate the Sabbath? We recognize the Sabbath still, but we worship the Lord on the first day of the week because that was what the pattern was for the early believers there. It looks like, according to the scripture here, they got together, it says, to break bread. They probably celebrated the Lord's Supper at some point there, if you kind of read into the text here and you kind of see. But I love what Luke says here, down a couple of verses. It says that Paul talked on and on and on. So this is proof, and it put Eutychus to sleep, and he felt that this is proof that long preaching can kill you, right? So I'm going to do my best not to preach till midnight today, I promise. We had a gentleman at another church take the pastor and myself out for lunch one time, and he had an agenda. He sat down, and we were eating lunch. We finished lunch, and he said to our pastor, he said, Pastor, I need to tell you something. He said, brevity is a virtue. Our pastor had been known to talk, and we got out of church sometimes, a lot of times, at like 12:30, 12:25, and the pastor was like, okay, you're telling me how to preach. You know, I'm doing my best to get out by 12 o'clock today, I promise, not 12 midnight. But, you know, the long talking put this Eutychus to sleep here. Think about this early church, the importance of this early church getting together, all right? The early church was birthed in a time when Christianity was brand new. It was looked as a sect of Judaism. It was looked as something weird by a lot of people. They made fun of Christians. In fact, the term Christian was originally made to make fun of people. They were known as people of the way after Jesus' statement, but the term Christian was little Christ. That was meant to kind of poke fun of Christians, right? But so this early church grew in a time of persecution, and when they were really sought after, and the Jews would often round them up and cause, you know, we've been following all the things that have been going on in the book of Acts here with Paul and others, right? But the early church, they needed each other. They needed to stick together, to meet together for encouragement. Is that not like how it is today? I mean, we need each other. I mean, we were talking about this in our Bible study class this morning. Christianity has, I believe, in America especially, become a negative thing. It's no longer a positive or a good trait. You know, if you're known as a Christian now, then you get all sorts of hate towards you. All you need to do is pull up social media and see what is said about Christians. And, you know, we're the problem. We're the source of people who commit suicide. We cause that, and all these other accusations that are thrown at Christians today. And I think, church, we need that encouragement just as much as they did in the first century. We come together to church. We hear from the Word of God. But most importantly, we draw strength from each other, right? We come together. We draw encouragement from one another when we're together. This is one of the things that I think the devil, he knows. He's smart. You know, the Bible says that the devil is crafty, right? He's like a lion seeking who he can devour. When you and I somehow get disconnected from church, right? Maybe it's been a couple of weeks, a couple of months, maybe even years. If that thought comes back into our head about, man, I need to get back in church, what's usually the first kind of thought that the devil throws back in your head? It's like, well, when you go, everybody's going to wonder where you've been. They're going to wonder what you've been up to, right? And it's an immediate, I think, attack from the devil to discourage you from getting back into the very place that will help you the most. This is the only place. You know, where can you go for encouragement? Do you turn on the news? No. Do you go look at your bank accounts? No. Do you go to the bars, the pubs? No. The best place for Christians to be encouraged, folks, is in his house amongst other believers. But the devil works overtime, does he not? And he loves to cause havoc. Going back to the theme of the team, and by the way, I totally whiffed on something. Could I get one of the leaders or deacons? Would y'all go get the holes in the wall out in the foyer and just bring it, put it over here on the side? I meant to do that during our welcome time. I got too busy talking. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks. But going back to the team theme here, again, everybody wearing their jersey, think about going to play a big football game. Let's you know, next week is Georgia Clemson, right? Woo, you know, right? How's it going to be? How's it going to end? Imagine being that team. You travel to the stadium. You get there. You do all the preparation. You get out there. You get on the field. You start warming up. And then you look out. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Either side's fine. But you look out into the stands at the stadium, and all you can see is the team fans from the other team wearing their jerseys. And you look out there and you don't see any of your team fans in the stands. Think about how that would discourage the players. I know I've heard, as a Georgia fan, I've heard many times, many press conferences where Kirby Smart is saying, please, fans, we need you to come out. We need you to make noise. You know, it's a vital part of the game plan, if you will. You wouldn't think, wait a minute, the fans don't need to be there to play the game, do they? I mean, everything is right there on the field. Yeah, they can still play the game. Do they really need the fans? I mean, they need the money, right? But yes, they do. I looked up several quotes. Let me just give you one I think that really hit the nail on the head here. This is from Coach Pete Carroll. Coached in California for a number of years before he went to the pros. But Pete Carroll says this. He says, the 12th man is not just a phrase, it's a fact. He says, when our fans are loud and involved, it gives us an edge. We feed off that energy, and it also disrupts the opposing team's rhythm. All right? Now, again, you can play a football game without the fans in the stands. But imagine what it would be like to be one of those players and to look out in the stands and see nobody in the stands that's there supporting you, nobody wearing your team jerseys, and all you see is the other teams, that would discourage you, probably. You might say, do they even care? Do they care about how good we are? Do they care about what we've done? How much work we've put into the practices, and now we're here for the game and nobody's here? To me, that is very similar to what it's like with our church attendance. We need each other. We need to be here. We need to support one another. You may feel like, well, I'm not doing anything. I don't have any responsibilities this Sunday. Do I really need to go? I'm not teaching my Bible study class this morning. I could just stay home and sleep late. No, we need you. We need each other. We need to be here for each other. It is encouraging. I can't, you know, count the number of people last week who were here to see Drew and Zach baptized. Man, we had a lot of family members here. We had a lot of visitors, and it was encouraging. The buzz all week was like, man, what a great service. What it was nice to see the pews full. What an amazing time. That did our church good, and that was encouraging. And we need to remember the importance of our presence when it comes to encouragement. You may feel like, I'm not doing anything. I'm not serving on a team or a committee, but you are just encouraging people just simply with your presence. That's the very least of everything, right? Just simply with your presence. You know, when we work together as Christians, we're better together. All right, thank you, Zach and Bobby, for bringing this up here. All right, for the last number of weeks, we've had this out in the foyer here. These are holes to fill, all right? These are some areas at our church that we're looking for people to join together and to serve the Lord. So not only can you encourage by your attendance, church, but you can also encourage by coming along and serving together. I just wanted to bring this in here this morning to draw attention to it, to remind you that if you are not serving somewhere, if you are not involved as a member of Westside, you are missing out. I want to encourage you to find a place where you can serve the Lord. There are all sorts of bricks that are up here, big and small. We have things that sometimes that might serve a whole year. There's some things up here that might just be a one-time event that we're needing help with. You know, the next on my list is for this week is finding a fall festival leader, someone to lead our fall festival this October, and to build a team of people that would help them. But I just want to bring it to your attention. We'll leave it here today. But after this, it's going to be out in the foyer again for a number of weeks. You know, last week we elected our administrative teams and our ministry team leaders, but they can't do it by themselves. You know, just one person on a committee is not really a team, is it? It's not. So I want to encourage you, if you are not serving and you're a member at Westside Baptist Church, I want you to come check this board out and see, is there a place for me that I could serve? There are places, if you are not a member of Westside, that you can serve as well. You know, we'd love for you to be a member, and we'd be glad to sit down and talk with you about that, what that means. But there are some things on this board that you can do if you've been attending here regularly and you want to be a part of the ministries here. But I just want to encourage you to come take a look at this. This will probably be out in the foyer for a number of weeks to come. But pray about that. Is there somewhere, some place that God would have me serve if some of you are not already doing that? I just want you to think through that and consider that. Because you will not only help yourself to grow, but you will also encourage God's people at Westside here as well to do that as well. You know, God created us to be relational people, right? You know, that's one of the things I think the negatives of cell phones and social media, we're so used to sitting in our house, the younger generations staring at a screen, and that just cuts out a lot of relational things. And as a church, we need to make sure that we're being relational. We're working together and fellowshipping together as best we can. Will you commit to, as best you can, to be in church, to be involved with your presence, with your attendance, as often as you can. I understand work, I understand being sick, I understand family, things like that. I'm not talking about that, but if you're able to, will you commit to the Lord and say, I'm going to be here as often as I can to support the mysteries of the church and to encourage one another? All right, finally, number three on your outline is this. The last one is the encouragement of God's miracle work. The encouragement of God's miracle work. So this long preaching or talking that Paul did on and on and on here put Eutychus to sleep. This was, you got to remember too, they didn't have electricity back then, so they had all these, it says the lights were lit there. That probably was eating some of the oxygen out of the room there, and so that kind of tends to make people sleepy. And then not only that, preaching long over and over and over, you know, Paul's talking here. Eutychus sitting on the window right there just falls out of the window, hits the ground dead, the Bible says. Paul rushes down there, throws himself on top of Eutychus, and announces, hey, guys, he's not dead, he's alive, you know. Brings about. It kind of reminded me, we've been going through on Wednesday nights talking about Elijah and Elisha. Both those prophets stretched themselves out on a boy who was dead and also brought him back to life. This reminds me a lot of that, where Paul stretches himself out there and brings Eutychus back to life from the dead here. This is all about the miracle work of God. We see a miracle here. It's humorous, you know. Eutychus falls backwards out, it says, the third story window, right? But this is the miracle work of God bringing him back. He fell, and God raised him back to life again. So here's the connection again with our game day, if you will, as we talk about the team sports and all this stuff. Every sport probably has this. There are miracle plays or miracle games that a lot of people refer to in the sporting world that were like, man, we were about to lose the game, but then this happened and it saved us. You know, it brought us back. I quickly Googled several off the internet. My wife, as an Auburn fan, would remember the kick six, right? You remember that? All right, you know, there's the thing there. There's the play in 1982 between Cal and Stanford. Hail Flutie, the miracle Doug Flutie, remember right that? The miracle at Michigan, Cordell Stewart there in 1994. The Bluegrass Miracle, these are all different names. The prayer at Jordan-Hare, that's the one I don't like as a Georgia fan. That's when Auburn beat us. There you go. There's 4th and 24, 4th and 25, 4th and 30, all these things that have happened least recently. The Bush Push, the Fiesta Bowl, the game of the century between Notre Dame and Michigan State. My favorite one here as of late, the miracle at midnight there between Georgia and Ohio State, right, where they kicked the ball and beat Ohio State, right, in the Peach Bowl 2 years ago, right? All sorts of other things. In hockey, there's the miracle on ice, right, between the American and Russian team in the Olympics. A couple others to give you here. The Easter Epic, some of these things you'll have to Google later. The shot heard around the world, the catch, the Miracle Mets, the Bloody Sox game, never heard of that one before. The shot, the flu game, that's apparently when Michael Jordan had the flu and played and won and all that. I don't know about that. But the Larry Bird steal, some of these I've never heard of, but all right. Or my favorite one, that time when Bobby Boucher showed up at halftime and the Mud Dogs won the Bourbon Bowl. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. All right, no. Anyway, but those plays, right? That wasn't real. Anyway, sorry. But, you know, but those kind of plays get known, right, for you know, the miraculous event that happened, and then we, oh man, that was such a great, you know. It's the same thing, church, when we see the miracle working of God in our lives, in our church lives, or in our personal lives, that brings encouragement in our lives too, right? You know, I wonder what they would have called this, the third floor flopper, the third floor fall or something. You know, you remember that when Eutychus is on the window, whatever, you know, whatever. I don't know. But these miracle events cause us to get excited and they bring encouragements in our lives. Okay, I got off track there. I'm sorry. I didn't plan to do that. But, you know, it gives us hope. We know until the clock hits 0:00, if there's still 1 second on the game clock, we still have hope because miracles can take place. And that's the same thing when it comes to our faith in Christ. We are never out of the fight, church. We already know who's won the Super Bowl, who's won the championship. We're on the winning team, as Darren said a while ago, right, in his prayer. But we must hold out and have hope. We must have hope. We have no greater hope. As much as we love our sports teams, we have to remember we're on the winning team as followers of Christ. He has already won. He had victory over death and sin. He died on the cross for our sins, but he rose from the grave. You know, if we trust him for our salvation, could we not trust him for the other areas in our lives? To say, God, you're a miracle-working God. I know you can do this too. I understand that. When we see the life change that happens in people, when we see, like we did last week with Zach and Drew, that baptism meant that change had happened in their life and that God had come in there and turned their life upside down. That's miraculous in itself. That's important to recognize that. We need to make sure that we get encouragement from that. You know, no matter what we face, God is the miracle-working God, and we can draw encouragement from that. We're going to wind down. I'm going to come to a conclusion this morning, but what about you, church? What about you individually? Do you believe that God can use you just like he used Paul or used some of these other people in the scriptures? Are you ready? If you'll go back, Ava, there you go. Go back two slides there. But are you and I ready? Are we, maybe I messed it up, so it's okay. But are you allowing God to use you? And are you here this morning? More importantly, would you like to join the best team and be on God's team? To ask him to come into your life, to be Lord and Savior of your life, to join the winning team, if you will, so to speak. God wants you on his team. And guess what? There's good news. There's no limits. There's no scholarship limits or anything. God wants you on his team, and he desires for you to be a part of his team. It's the best team this morning. Is that you this morning? We like to use the kind of this simple gospel, no sweat evangelism, sometimes it's called. There's these four statements, you know. You are not an accident. You have a purpose. You're just not randomly here, molecules in motion. God designed and created you for a purpose. Colossians 1:16 says that for through Christ you were created for him and by him. God has a purpose for your life. Do you recognize that? But also, unfortunately, we are separated from God. What separates us? The Bible says our sin separates us. The Bible says for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Our sin separates us from God. Just like Adam and Eve were expelled from God's presence in the garden when they chose to disobey God and sin, we also are separated from God by our sin. But that's the bad news. But the good news is, church, is that we don't have to stay separated. God knew that we were helpless, that we were powerless to do anything about our sin. And so he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And if we would trust in him, believe that he died for our sins, place our faith in him, turn from our sins, and trust in Christ, then he will save us and he will bring us back to God. God approached us in Jesus Christ, and then we can accept Jesus by faith. Ephesians 2 Verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. God wants to give you a gift of eternal life, a gift of his spirit that lives within you. Is there anyone here this morning that maybe you know this, you have head knowledge about the Bible and about who Jesus is, but you've never personally trusted Christ for yourself? Are you ready to do that this morning? I'd love to help you with that by just walking you through a simple prayer. If you're ready to do that, I just want to ask everybody if you would just close your eyes, bow your heads, nobody looking around. If you'd like to invite Christ to come into your life, to receive him, to receive the gift that he wants to give you, say a prayer to the Lord like this. Say, "Dear God, I know that you love me. I also know that I'm separated from you because of my own sin. Today, God, I'm coming to you to accept your free gift of eternal life. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Help me to follow you daily as I trust in you. Give me eternal life. Come into my life. In Jesus' name, amen." In a minute, we're going to have our invitation time, and we're going to sing one more song. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on down and get ready. But I just want to challenge you, if you pray that prayer and you ask Christ to come into your life, maybe this morning or maybe a week ago or a month ago or 3 years ago, would you come down and just let me know that you prayed that prayer and you just wanted to publicly share that with a church? We're not going to make you make a speech or say anything. I just want to pray for you, and I want to help you as you begin to follow Christ as a new believer, as a new babe, as Paul says, in Christ. And we want to just help you in your relationship with him. Christians, for others of you, you know, where are you at on the encouragement issue? Are you looking for people to encourage? Or are you always the one wanting people to encourage you? It needs both. We need to be encouraged, but we also need to be people that encourage other people. And where are we at with our attendance? Or are we maybe committing to say, "I'm going to be here with my presence as much as I can, or with my service to serve the Lord, to help and encourage the body of Christ here at Westside"? So think through those things, and this is our time just to go to the Lord and say, "God, is there anything in my life that needs changing? Is there anything in my life that needs correction or fixing?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, this is your time. As we come, we have an invitation time. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will have freedom to speak to us individually and to, Lord, if we need to make changes in our life, if we need to make some corrections, I pray that before we lay our head down on our pillow tonight, that we will work on these things. We'll set some goals. We'll set some workable goals of encouragement, perhaps, that we can do and to help other people and to help our church, to help our family. Lord, thank you for those that are here this morning. I pray that you will bless them for hearing the word of God and also for doing it, Lord. We love you, and we just pray all these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you'll stand as we sing.
All these pieces broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole. Empty-handed, but not forsaken, I've been set free, I've been set free. Oh, amazing. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Lord, I pray that that as we close this invitation time, Lord, I pray that you'll continue to work on our hearts and minds. Lord, may Lord, if you've convicted us to do something, Lord, I pray that we would work it out, work out a plan to be obedient to whatever you called us to do, Lord. Lord, now we come as a time to give our tithes and offerings to you. And Lord, we thank you. First, we give you praise and honor and glory for what you're doing in the life of our church. Lord, we thank you for every penny, every dollar, every cent that is sent in, Lord. You are taking care of our church, and you have. You continue to do that. Lord, I thank you for God's faithful people here at Westside who trust you in the tithe. Lord, I pray as we give our money today, Lord, I pray that we'll give it cheerfully, knowing that you're using it for your kingdom, your work here at Westside, not only Westside, but the ministries and missions that we give and money to all throughout the world in our state. Lord, we love you, and we just thank you for an opportunity to give back a portion of what you have given to us. You've given us everything. Lord, we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. All right, you can have a seat as the offering plate is being passed. Let me just share a couple of announcements with you. Tonight, 6 o'clock, is the 2 Corinthians Bible study. I hope you'll be there for tonight. We've got a good lesson tonight to talk about a number of good things there. You can catch it online if you're not able to come in person. Out in the foyer right here on the long table are the outlines. So if you know you're not going to be able to be here tonight, but you want to watch it on our Facebook group, you can grab the outline and take it home with you as well. So just to keep you up to date, in a couple of weeks, we will be nominating deacons to serve for the next 3 years. The way our church constitution bylaws is that when we elect a deacon, a nominated deacon, they serve for a period of 3 years, and then they rotate off for 1 year before they can serve again. We have 5 deacons already currently serving there. You'll see their names in the bulletin. Those deacons cannot be nominated again because they're already serving. So we've got 1 or 2 of those deacons rolling off this year. So ask God and look at the qualifications there in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and just pray and ask God to show you to be a deacon. You need to be a member of the church here, be a male. So pray about that and see who God may have you nominate, as well as the qualifications there in 1 Timothy. So other announcements there, Senior Adult Bible Study will be coming up in a couple weeks, so make sure you're aware of that. And again, come by and check out the board. We'll move that back out in the foyer and ask God, is there a place that you would have me to serve? Maybe it's just a one-time thing. Maybe it's a continual act of service that you can do as well. So, all right, God bless you guys. We love you all. We hope you have a great afternoon, and we'll either see you tonight or later this week. Have a great day.